Central banks like the Federal Reserve have emerged from the 2008 financial crisis more powerful than ever, again and again intervening to stabilize the global financial system. Our next guest believes they may now have too much power and function as an unelected branch of government. Sir Paul Tucker is former deputy governor of the Bank of England. He looks at this question in his new book, Unelected Power, The Quest for Legitimacy in Central Banking and the Regulatory State. Sir Paul, welcome to Here and Now.
Well, thank you very much.
And your book is called Unelected Power. You call central banks overmighty citizens. How concerned are you about the power that central banks have right now?
I am concerned. I think not just with central banking, but with regulators as well. Somehow during my adult lifetime, on both sides of the Atlantic, countries have drifted towards being governed by people who we don't elect rather than by the people that we do elect. I don't think that's necessarily the fault of central bankers, but it's something that we should worry about.
But you're not saying that central bankers should be elected?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm saying that their functions should be narrowly defined so that they can be held accountable and Congress can decide whether or not to sustain the independence of the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, the European Central Bank.
How much power do you think that they have now compared to before the financial crisis in 2008?
Oh, a lot more. And I think it's partly that we all discovered that we latently had more power, and it's partly that for good reasons, legislators have given central banks more power. But compare it with the 1930s. Who was the face of the response to the dreadful situation in the 1930s? President Roosevelt.
Right.
Who was the face of the response to the recent crisis?
Ben Bernanke.
Ben Bernanke, yeah. Hank Paulson, and on this side of the Atlantic, Jean-Claude Trichet, Mervyn King. That's a big change in a few generations.
And you say that they're losing legitimacy.
I worry that they'll lose legitimacy. And actually, it's a kind of wider worry. I mean, our systems of government work on the basis that how the people feel about the government is separate from how we feel about the system of government. So when government goes wrong, as it inevitably does, we the people vote out our governors and get a new lot in, but we don't change the system of government. But we can't vote out the regulators and the central bankers or the judges. And therefore, we need to be very careful in how to define their functions and ensure that they are narrowly constrained rather than able to reinvent themselves as the U.S. cavalry.
Do you have a specific solution for that?
I think yes. I think, for example, the Federal Reserve is accused fairly or unfairly of stretching too far in rescuing some financial institutions. Well, Congress could do more to define the objectives of the Federal Reserve as the lender of last resort, rather than leaving it as open as it is now. In addressing problems in the financial system, trying to keep the financial system safe and sound, here I think the United States is doing better. The Federal Reserve is focused on the resilience of the financial system, not on trying to pop every asset price bubble or lean against every credit boom. On this side of the Atlantic in Europe, central bankers are getting drawn into debating, well, maybe they can stop housing booms, maybe they can stop asset price booms, but I don't think we the people have a way of monitoring whether they're doing that well or whether they're doing it badly until it's too late.
We've been in a recovery in this country for the last 10 years. People look at the stock market and how much it's gone up. How much of that recovery in stocks, in housing, in other markets is because of the Fed?
It's partly to do with the Fed. And I think the United States would have done better a few years ago to have more fiscal stimulus concentrated in infrastructure investment and less monetary stimulus. And that way, interest rates would have been a bit higher. There wouldn't have been so many kind of adverse distributional effects. The quantitative easing and very low interest rates has been very good for the rich. It's been good for the poorer people because it's reduced unemployment, and that's been a massive thing. It hasn't been so good for the middling people who live off an income on modest savings. And I think if more fiscal policy had been used, the longer-term health of the economy would have been improved without some of the distortions that we've seen.
Is there any way for Fed policy, for quantitative easing, as you say, or lowering interest rates, to be good for middle-income people? Because these are, first of all, rates that banks get to borrow money at a very, very low rate. But also, it makes it very difficult for people who have savings to keep their money in the bank. They don't make anything on it.
Look, given that Congress didn't act, I think the Federal Reserve did exactly the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the same about central banks in Europe. And the middling saving people would have been even worse off if the economy had completely tanked, if we'd revisited the Great Depression of the 1930s. It's not so much that I hold the central banks at fault as the legislators themselves didn't step up to the plate. And I think that's part of a pattern. It's true for regulation in other fields as well. It now suits Congress, it suits parliaments to give very vague mandates to unelected people and say to them, go make the world better. And I feel uncomfortable about that.
You say the Fed should do more to explain to ordinary Americans what it is doing. Maybe they should travel the country and tell people what they're doing. Do you think that'll happen?
I hope it will. I mean, it's got new leadership, and I think they would be good at it, and I think that they should do it. It's hard to have so much power unless people across the whole nation understand who you are and have an opportunity to see you.
So you say Congress is not doing enough, is not stepping up where it should. They certainly are talking about the Fed. And I want to listen here to a couple of things that have been said. Now, President Trump has railed against the Federal Reserve in the past for keeping interest rates low. So has Republican Senator Rand Paul. Here he is earlier this year on Fox News.
Well, the Federal Reserve is incredibly powerful, and what they've done for decade after decade is to keep interest rates really low so government can keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing money, and that's why we have this enormous $20 trillion debt. But when they keep interest rates low, they prevent a useful signal from being distributed to the economy, and the economy gets into a boom and then ultimately a bust.
And then here is Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren weighing in on the new Fed Chair Jerome Powell earlier this year on the Senate floor.
Giant institutions still have the ability to blow up our economy. And that is the biggest problem facing the Fed and other regulators. I am deeply concerned that as soon as Governor Powell unpacks his boxes in the chairman's office, he will begin weakening the new rules Congress and the Fed put in place after the 2008 financial crisis.
How do you feel about elected politicians putting pressure on the Fed? Does it politicize the Fed, or do you think it's appropriate because, as you point out, the leaders of the central bank are not elected?
Well, in a sense, the pressure can't work if the Federal Reserve leaders are true to the law, because they are independent. They can listen and explain and respond. So America doesn't have massive debt because the Fed has held interest rates low. And had it held interest rates too low over the past 25 years, America would have been back into the high inflation era of the 1970s and 1980s. America has a lot of debt because America has chosen to spend a lot of money and fund it with debt rather than with taxes. And that's a kind of pretty serious issue, but I don't think one can blame the Fed for that. I mean, I think that Senator Warren makes a very important point about the resilience of the financial system. I mean, I think it will be very risky to allow the bigger banks, the bigger dealers, but not only them, the infrastructure providers as well, the custody banks, to lever up their balance sheets more. Look, the crisis that we went through wasn't as bad as it was because there was a boom. It's bad that there was a boom, but that isn't why the crisis was so deep. The crisis was as deep as it was because the banking system and the penumbra of the banking system was hopelessly weak, and that was true on both sides of the Atlantic. And it is worrying that memories of that seem to be fading.
And just yesterday, President Trump signed into law a rollback of some of the Dodd-Frank reforms that require banks to keep more money.
I thought the rollback for the community banks strikes me as a pretty sensible and desirable thing to do. I thought that some of the rollback for the bigger banks was probably a mistake, and I think it's important that it stops there.
That's Sir Paul Tucker, who is a fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School and chair of the Systemic Risk Council. He was a central banker and regulator at the Bank of England, and his new book is called Unelected Power. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you.